You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 2nd of January. We ring in the new year with the Jazz heading on the road for three that will tell us a little, plus a win against Detroit the other night. It's what everybody's been looking for, and the passing of David Stern. We'll touch on all of it as we continue on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it better to be a Jazz fan every day. As I mentioned in a series of tweets the other day, I hadn't really kind of put it all together, but when we went through on the Detroit game during the broadcast, the last highlights of the year, of the decade, I suddenly realized I had called every game but three, I guess, two for my son's ski racing and one for illness. So Steve Brown and Steve Klauke, thank you for filling in on those. Actually, Craig Bolajek won, Steve Brown won, and Steve Klauke won, I think, is actually, now that I think about it. So, nonetheless, it was just kind of a wild thought, like, to have called every game for a month, actually, call every game for a month would have been amazing for a kid who grew up and goal and life dream was to be the radio voice of the Utah Jazz. To do it for a month would have been amazing. To do it for a decade is a bit overwhelming. So, thank you very, very much for adapting and accepting and supporting me in this process and evolving with me as I hopefully have improved, as well as understanding that there's something other than Hot Rod and that no one will ever be Hot Rod. But so thank you very, very much. I cannot appreciate it enough. All right, so we're in Chicago today. Usually we do a Thursday live show, but at 7:27 on Thursday morning, on January 2nd, when some people are going to work and most people are probably not, I thought it seemed like a kind of a useless venture. So I did not do a live show this week. But we're back on doing Locked On Jazz for you every day and back in for another year of Locked On Jazz. Jazz Game Rewind is now available at utahjazz.com/lockedonjazz after game. So make sure you get used to that. And I know a lot of people have asked about Empty the Noggin. I just took one thing out of my life. I had to kind of weigh what mattered most to those that matter and things of that nature, and that's the decision I made. I might be wrong, and maybe as we head down the stretch, I'll get back to it a little bit. But it is about an hour and a half difference of when I wrap up the night. All right, the Detroit game was our kind of elite defensive performance of the season against a pretty hapless group. We had not played very well defensively in a while. I do believe the more I'm around the league in a kind of the concept of the flow of the game. So, you know, if you're up 16, you're probably going to stop defending a little bit usually, and then your defensive numbers don't look as good. If your offense is rolling and has you into an 8-point lead, you probably don't clamp down defensively quite as well. Whereas, you know, our offense wasn't very good in the first half against Detroit. And so in turn, you end up with having to play defense, and we did exactly that. And I think there's something, you know, to that. And then the offense clicked in, another solid three-point shooting night, 38.5%, which is actually a little bit below our season average. We're down to, I think, 38.9. But we are, you know, we're a 40% just about three-point shooting team for the league, for the season. It's just stunning. And so if we can get those up, it certainly matters. We're not getting them up. We're still 16th in the league in attempts, and if we can find a way to get continue to grow that number, we only had 26 attempts against Detroit. What we also did, interestingly, against Detroit is we didn't allow them to get to threes, which was kind of at the highest level and probably where our defense was best that night, was not allowing Detroit, who is the second-best or third-best three-point shooting team in the league, at least for the season, maybe not the roster they had available that night because they didn't have many of their, you know, they were pretty limited. But nonetheless, we were able to eliminate them getting the three-point shot, which is, from a defensive standpoint, is a great sign. We have the best, I think, third or fourth best shot quality defense, which is good. We're still 15th in league average off from an offensive standpoint. Chicago, who we play tonight, actually gets great shots. So this will be a good test to see whether or not we can kind of one the you know phrase always used with Rudy is bend their shot chart. The Detroit game was another superior performance from the bartender. The bartender being Joe Ingles. By the way, we only allowed 14 three attempts the other night, if you didn't know that number. I don't think I said it. But it's a pretty high level incredible number to see at this point in the NBA. The other thing about the Detroit game was, as I said, is just another brilliant performance from Joe Ingles. And he is just playing with a great deal of confidence. He's playing with a freedom that he's always had, but that, you know, to shoot and to make plays. And it has added, certainly added a dimension to the offense. The other thing is, from a defensive standpoint, we're just much longer. We have not been very good defensively over the last 10 games, so I'm not sure I would. We've been okay. We're seventh. We're I wouldn't make a bigger, larger statement about it, but we are bigger. But the other night, Joe just kind of, it wasn't anything overwhelming. It was just kind of, actually what I thought was interesting is it wasn't a 5-for-5 shooting night. He had 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He was just really solid in everything he was doing that night. And then you had Donovan do his, get his 23, and Rudy had 19 rebounds, and Bojan, who has just been scuffling a little bit, I think we've actually asked a lot out of him recently. Went 6-of-15, and then there's this new element that Jordan Clarkson came off the bench for 20 points in 27 minutes. He also had 2 assists, but he took 13 shots in 27 minutes, and he is just out there to make plays, and the impact he is having is exactly what the Jazz probably dreamed of and hoped for. It is, you know, it's Lou Williams. It's kind of what we dreamed Alec Burks would be, but he's better. It's a bona fide game-changing, energy-swinging guy off the bench. It's pretty interesting. And he is what he's been advertised as, a gunner who plays with great speed and tempo, a former track star out of San Antonio. He is gets to the rim at a terrific rate, a good catch-and-shoot guy, not a great off-the-bounce three-point shooter, though he made, you know, it doesn't mean you're not going to ever make a off-the-bounce three. He made one the other night. He is a spark plug, but more that I think minimizes a little bit, and it's been pretty great. It also, just when you look at us on the floor, just visually, we just look a lot better, right? Like the lineups that are on the floor look more reasonable than what they did in the past, and there's just an ability to get buckets, whether it's having Donovan and Clarkson on the floor together or having Joe out there or whatever it might be. The interesting one, by the way, is on that catch and shoot thing, he actually has been a better off the bounce. He's like 3-for-6 on off the bounce than he is catch and shoot so far with the Jazz. I'm sure that'll straighten out over time. But if you look at the rotations that we're using, you know, we're closing the first quarter now with Donovan, Moutier, Clarkson. I mean, that's just – and actually it was Tony Bradley and Juwan Morgan, because he came in for George Niang. But that's just – like, that's got an offensive chance. Like, that feels good. We open the second quarter with Joe Ingles, Donovan Mitchell, Jordan Clarkson. That's the three-man backcourt. That feels like you can – so that, you know, it's Moutier, Clarkson, then we want to get Donovan some rest. So then it's then it was Donovan, Moutier, Clarkson, and then the same thing. It was Donovan, Ingles, Clarkson. Those feel like they can get some buckets. And then Niang and Bradley have to just do enough, or Morgan and Bradley have to just do enough. And the backup center position has not come together yet. That much is clear. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. The new year is underway up at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. And they're doing amazing things for 2020. Chevy employee discount for everyone available as they kick off the new year. The 2019 Equinox, the Colorado, and the Trax are all available for you. You know that there's the Silverado and the Colorado trucks are amazing. And then there's the rest of the great Chevy lineup. The SUV lineup includes the Blazers that I'm driving right now. I'm going to have to give it back here pretty soon. It's been super fun. Gotten more and more accolades on it. The 2020 Camaro, if you're looking for a little extra fun, and the 2019 Corvette are all part of that great Chevy lineup. It's located in Woods Cross. The Corvette convertible is ridiculous looking. Worth just stopping by to see it if you get a chance. A new Corvette that is just killing it. It's all at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross. This is an interesting road trip. And the reason it's an interesting road trip is because in some sense you can say, well, we should win all three. And you just don't actually ever do that. Which is, you know, kind of an interesting way the game works. So the Jazz against the Bulls tonight are a 59% favorite. 2.5 is the Raptors spread on 538. And then Saturday, we're actually an underdog to the Magic, though Jonathan Isaac got hurt the other day. If he doesn't play, it might change. 538 has the Magic as a favorite. And Monday, they have the Pelicans as a considerable favorite. So, at 59%. So, 538 has us going 1-2. So now what you have to do is you got to buck the odds a little bit. You know, if the Lakers came out and played this three-game sequence, or the Clippers, would they win all three? Maybe. Maybe they would. And if we're going to try to be that good, that's where we have to make that statement. If the Bucks were playing this, they'd probably be favored in all three. Maybe the Nuggets would be too. So what level of improvement can we show in this next three games to show that we've actually turned some sort of corner and are a better team than the way we're projected? Our differential's not, you know, we're not, like, the numbers on us don't show we're great. We're 21-12 and we're 12th best team in the league, differential-wise. And we actually, even in this hot streak, it hasn't changed. There's just a huge gap. We're kind of in this middle land. There's all these teams that are plus four or above, which is always the level that I look at. I always look at plus four and minus four as the real sign. So Milwaukee, Boston are the best. Dallas has got the best differential in the West, followed by the Lakers, Clippers, then Toronto. So the East top is Milwaukee, Boston, Toronto, Philadelphia, Indiana, Miami, all at plus four or more. And the West top is Dallas, Lakers, Clippers, Houston, Denver, all at plus four. So there's 11 teams at plus four, and we're sitting at plus 2.7. You know, we're still the 17th ranked offense and the 10th ranked defense in the league. Oklahoma City sits as the only team between 2.7 and being negative. So there's another kind of huge gap there. There's a real separator, and we're in the middle of that. And so this is a week for us to prove that maybe we're not in the middle of that, that we're actually better than that. We're playing three teams, a few that are playing really well, that are teams that are not above us. So, however, New Orleans is playing, our third stop is playing great. New Orleans is the hottest team over the last 2 weeks. Their differential is plus 12. Chicago is the seventh best team in the league recently at a differential of plus 5. And Orlando is struggling. But they're the seventh best defense in the league. They just can't score. And they beat. Now, with all that, that makes you say, oh, wow, those teams are really good. Then let's take a second and actually dig in a little bit. And then when you look at Chicago, whose defense is, in fact, having an impact on games, And Jim Boylan actually has a signature to what he's building. On the other end, their wins are Atlanta, Detroit, who we saw the other night, Washington. They beat the Clippers December 14th in a pretty impressive. Atlanta again, Memphis, Sacramento, Charlotte, Detroit, New York, Atlanta, Detroit, and Memphis. Okay, so they have one win all season long against an above 500 team. And they lost just recently to Orlando. They played Oklahoma City to a three-point game, played Toronto to a one-point game. So they're playing good games. They haven't won a lot. Stop number two on the trip is Orlando, who's also won 3 of 5. And one of those wins is super impressive in the Philadelphia 76ers, getting them on the backside of their Christmas. Other than that, their wins are Washington, Philadelphia, there's their win, Chicago, New Orleans, Cleveland, Phoenix, Washington, Golden State, Cleveland, Washington, San Antonio, 76ers, they got a second time, Memphis, New York, and Cleveland. Again, so they have two wins against above 500 teams. The last one's a little different. The Pelicans have been a mystery all year long at why they're possibly 11-23. But they have won 4 straight with wins over Denver, Indiana, and Houston. So they're rolling. They've won 4 of 5 after losing 13 straight. I mean, I don't know what happened to them when they lost 13 straight. And I don't know if they've made a defensive scheme change or what they did. But that team with that talent should never have lost 13 straight. Now, Faves is back and playing pretty well. And their win against Houston was without Harden and without Westbrook for Houston. So that can be tainted a little bit. They rolled Faves out for 35 minutes the other night. He had 12 points, 15 rebounds. Let's see how his body holds up. Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram both dropped 27 the other night. And that's a good basketball team. So this is a interesting test. They crushed Indiana 120-98 on the holiday reunion game. And again, Ingram had 24. They rolled Faves out for 27 minutes. He had 10 points, 16 rebounds. They're good. Lonzo had 13. Drew Holiday had 20. They're good. And their bench is fine. So they, you know, stop playing Jahlil Okafor and play Derek Favors. Actually, it's a pretty good script to getting better as a basketball team. But they, it's an interesting, this is, so I think you get the point of the trip, is that on paper, we look at it and like, okay, we should beat all those teams. Based on our performance level so far, when you look at us collectively, 538 says, I don't know about that. So this is a real opportunity for us to show what growth we have and how much better we are. And obviously, we're rolling a little bit. Right? I think we've won 8 of 9. All right, David Stern passes. We'll touch on it when we continue. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homie. Homie is revolutionizing the real estate world in a fun and exciting way for you, and it's fun to watch a Utah company make those strides. The backstory on Homie and their ownership group and their leadership group is they're a bunch of guys out of BYU Business School who first started the company Entrada for property management. It was one of those BYU executive programs, MBA program projects, and turned out to be incredible. Well, after done with that, it was time to figure out what's next. And what was next was to revolutionize the real estate market. And they have done it. We've told you a lot over the time of how you can sell your house. You can also buy a house with Homie. See, what Homie will do with you is all the same things that you can get otherwise. They'll find you a dream house, tour homes, make offers, negotiate the best deal, and work with you. And then they'll work with you to get $5,000 back. Because when you buy a home, your money is used to pay the seller, their agent, whatever agent you choose. It's your money that pays both agents. And Homie is returning $5,000 back to you on that. The idea that as real estate prices continue to jump and jump and jump and jump, that everybody should be getting their 3% and 6% is insanity. And Homie is changing that. So text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. That's LOCK to 888-589-5588. David Stern passes away at 77 years old, and all of us that are fans of this league have benefited from David Stern, and any of us making a living out of this league, like myself, have benefited from David Stern. I got to meet him a few times, but don't have any great personal story to that. I do think and I brought this up on Locked On NBA with Ben Golliver. I think the interesting one on Stern is his relationship with Larry. They were very close. Stern, who was Jewish, lawyer, from New York. Larry H. Miller, LDS, car dealer, service partsman, becomes car dealer, high school diploma from Murray, Utah, and Stern connected. And I think that's a little bit of a testament to Stern and a testament to Larry, obviously, but in the case we're talking about Stern, a testament to Stern's recognition of everyone's talents and not being caught up by what gives, you know, what makes somebody qualified, but instead recognizing the undeniable brilliance and skill of Larry and Gail, for that matter. To me, that's a little bit of kind of a good anecdote to Stern. He was a force. There's numerous articles about him that are worth reading. David Aldridge tells a story about getting phone calls from him. Woj tells a story about him walking into the All-Star locker room and basically telling the guys that they better get their labor deal done because he knows where the bodies are because he's the one who actually buried most of them. It's a pretty strong comment. You know, he was a force to be reckoned with. He was not intimidated by the players. He was a labor, incredibly tough guy in labor sale in labor dealings. And he changed the league. You know, the question that I asked Ben Golliver on Locked On NBA is how much was he fortunate of timing and a steward of something, which I think is equally as important, and how much was he groundbreaking? And I think that's an interesting differential, and I think there's a little of each. You know, obviously there was Michael, and there was Magic and Larry that happened, and those things, Michael was just, you know, charismatic and changing, and Phil Knight was a major part of it, and maybe being the stewardship was allowing Nike to turn Michael into what Michael was. And this, you know, sponsoring these, you know, or marketing these players as, you know, MJ and the Bulls, that was a quantum change. And it was one that built to stardom. So, and then there isn't, he commits to the international game. And as Ben points out in Locked On NBA, which is worth hearing, you know, Giannis, Luka, you know, who are the best players of this next generation of NBA stars, and many, many of them are coming from the European game. It's interesting how many of them in the American game are sons of former athletes, and in the European games, these new players are emerging. The Luka's a son of a player. I mean, at some point, genetically, in the NBA, you have to have some height, so that can lead to that. But you have Donovan, and you have Devin Booker, and you have Steph Curry, and you have Klay Thompson. All these guys, you know, the best American players, dads had some sort of athletic background. Maybe that's, you know, I should read David Epstein's book and maybe have a better understanding of some of that in his incredible new book, which I haven't gotten to yet. So I think on Stern, we feel the impact on a daily basis. And I do think there was an element that he hit at the right time, and that he steward, and I actually think that's a great compliment. And then there are areas where he clearly was a visionary, and he was a force. It's one thing to have the vision. It's a different concept if you actually have it inside of you to push that vision through. So, obviously, we lost a man that was deeply connected to the NBA. Would be curious to know how much he and Adam have been interacting over the last year or two. Did Adam lose a huge guidance to the league that could have an impact in the immediate, or was David really out of the league? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the. I don't know if there's an impact to David's passing on the league at this time. All right, that is Locked On Jazz today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Jazz and the Bulls tonight. Ron and I will be on the floor at 5 o'clock your time. I think it's a 5 o'clock. It might be a. I think it's a 7 o'clock. Our bus is at 4:30, so I'm assuming it's a 7 o'clock start. Ron, I'll be on the floor for you at 5. Jazz game rewind as well as locked postcast after the game. So thanks very much for tuning in. Super appreciate it, and I will talk to you soon. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Tell your smart device play most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA.